Hello, everyone. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley on this beautiful fall day. I hope the sun stays with us for the rest of the day, for some odd reason. Want to welcome again Betty Angelini from Camp Crestfields. Thank you, Betty. Thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure when Betty's here, and she's been doing extra double duty here at the church, so thank you.
Wonderful to be here. I'm sorry you're in transition, but I'm glad I get to come more often.
That's right. And I hope that you will come to the pig roast afterwards, right?
I have some other stuff, so we'll
okay. Do, yeah. All right. Anyway, so with that mentioned, after the service today is our annual Deacon's pig roast. Everyone here is invited to come over and enjoy and partake and make merry, which would be great. Want to point out one announcement in the back is we're doing a craft show bake sale, not at the Christmas time with a cookie walk. We're doing it separately, and that's going to be on October 29th, and we're in need of baked goods for the show, and please see BJ Morrison to help or if you have questions. Again, I want to thank everyone who's been doing a super job of keeping the outside of the church weeded. We always need volunteers to help keep that up. And with that, I will turn it over to Betty for the service.
Thank you so very much, Cliff. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Our call to worship comes from Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Let us worship and rejoice together for all the things that the Lord has done for us. Amen. We're going to stand and sing hymn number 301, Let Us Build a House. We're going to stand and sing the first three verses,
the first three verses.
are truly welcome in this place. And the Lord now welcomes our prayers of confession. We will pray in unison and then in silence. Dear Heavenly Father, we bow our heads before you, and we confess that we have too often forgotten that we are yours. Sometimes we carry on our lives as if there was no God, and we fall short of being witnesses to you. For these things, we ask your forgiveness, and we also ask for your strength. Give us clear minds and open hearts, so we may witness to you in our world. Remember us to be, you would have us to be, regardless of what we are doing or who we are with. Hold us to you and build our relationship with you and with those you have given us on earth. Amen. I have really good news. It's really good. Friends, I ask you, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are all forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
We are so welcomed because we are so forgiven. Let us together affirm our faith, saying the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Let us take this time to greet each other with the peace of Christ.
have a prayer request this morning from Kathy Sagey for Brad Nichols. He's in his late 20s and was just told that he has brain damage from too many concussions and his symptoms will never improve. And then a few days later, he was also told that he might have stomach cancer and more testing needs to be done. Kathy's asking for prayers that he finds peace, comfort, and reassurance in Jesus and the power of prayer. Also, prayers are requested for Jim Teggy, who is hospitalized right now, probably released later today or tomorrow for a respiratory issue. So please keep Jim and his family in prayer. Also, I would personally ask for prayer. Lots of things change in churches in the fall season, and we are no different in the fact that our nominating committee will be starting to meet and to work. And I ask all of you to really dig deep in your souls, and if you are approached by a member of the nominating committee and you are asked to serve, first of all, I wish you'd say yes. But second of all, I wish that if you can't say yes immediately, that you take some time and think about it before you say no. We really need people now, as we do every year, but maybe a little bit more this year, because we're also going to be looking for a pulpit nominating committee, because we're also looking for a minister. So please keep the church in prayer and keep all of those individuals who have accepted the responsibility of filling those positions in prayer also. And praise request, that there's food after church. So please join us and stay for the pig roast.
I love the sacraments. I really love baptism, but the communion is very special for me. So I just wanted to say thank you to the choir. That is my praise for the beginning of the preparation for coming to the table together. Their anthem this morning was beautiful, I thought. So thank you very much. Thank you. Let us pray. Wise and loving shepherd, you guide your people in the ways of your truth, leading us through the waters of baptism and nourishing us with the food of eternal life. Keep us in your mercy, and so guide us through the perils of evil and death, that we may know your joy at the heart of all things. We come before you, Lord, anxious to get to the tables this morning, the table here and the table in Fellowship Hall, but joyful to be able to stop and breathe in your Holy Spirit and worship you. We give you our praise, Lord, and we are grateful for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, for the food that is being prepared, for the blessing of the fall weather, the coolness, the breeze, and the changes that are coming in this place and within our lives. We stop and pray, Lord, and ask your assistance as the nominating committee does their work. Give them ears and hearts to listen for who you are calling to serve you. And for those that are asked, Lord, if it is your will, let them say yes. Not a hesitant yes, but a bold yes. A bold yes to step up and to serve you during this time of transition and searching. We pray, Lord, also for those that are searching for the next pastor for this place, and ask that you give them hearts and ears to know who you have already called and discerned to be at this place. May everyone be in agreement, Lord. We offer up to you those that are precious on our hearts. We pray for Brad Nichols and for the multiple traumas and tribulations that he is experiencing right now. And we pray, Lord, with hearts full that he find peace and comfort and reassurance in you, Jesus. We ask that you put your special touch on him. We pray for Jim Teggy with his respiratory issues, and that you will continue to provide healing so that he will be released from the hospital soon. We lift up those prayer concerns in the bulletin, Lord. And we pray especially for Janet Hall and for David, a grandson of Mabel's. Lord, there are many things that we can't even begin to verbalize, but you know that they are there. You hear them as groans. And so we ask, Lord, that you continue to provide faith for us, faith in your healing touch, and rest and comfort for those that we pray for. Hear our prayer, Lord, also as we continue to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to hear the word of the Lord and to experience the grace found in communion, let us stand and sing In Christ Alone. Just sang of all the gifts that in Christ alone we have received. The gift of life, the gift of peace, the gift of grace. And now is the time for us to respond by returning back just a small portion of those many gifts that we have given. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. May you give cheerfully, joyfully, and with all of your heart.
Want them to be used. Bless them, Lord, and let them do more than we can even begin to imagine. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In praise of the Lord, Psalms 23. My favorite. I don't know how people pick these scriptures, but I just sign a paper back there and they say, okay, you can talk. But this is my favorite one. So this is great. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths of his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You prepare, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Praise be to God. I'm going to read Matthew 14. Verses 13 to 21. The first verse 13 confuses me a little, and I probably should have read the whole chapter so I understood why he did what he did in chapter 13, but I didn't. Now, when Jesus heard this, he drew from there in a boat to a lonely place apart. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw great throngs. I think that means crowds. And he had compassion on them and healed their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a lonely place, and the day is over. Send the crowds away to go into the village and buy food for themselves." Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish." He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. They took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over, and those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The word of the Lord.
Thanks. Thank you. God.
Here's how it happens that you get to read a scripture that you love. It's the mystery of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah to that. And the event that happened before was the death of Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. And so he just wanted to run away and grieve, but the crowds wouldn't let him. So there we have it, yes. Let us pray. Holy and wonderful God, mysteriously you give us your scripture. Mysteriously it speaks to our hearts. Lord, let it continue to speak through the words that come next, and the mysterious grace provided by the table. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So again, on behalf of Pittsburgh Presbytery, the Crestfield staff, and the Crestfield ministry team, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. I am so excited again to be here today. It's a special day, for we will be doing a lot of eating together. We'll be gathering around this table. It will be an important table for us today, the table in the sanctuary, but we'll gather around the table in Fellowship Hall. Gathering around the table is so very important. My husband and I have two sons. Our sons live across the state of Pennsylvania. Our son Tony is 32 years old and lives in Gettysburg. He teaches seventh grade, yes. Our son Nick is 30 years old and he lives in Philadelphia. They both work and are busy with their friends and church and working out. They love to run and go to the gym. I work, I'm going to school, I'm busy with friends, and I'm busy trying to convince myself to go work out or at least go take a walk. Our schedules are busy, but you all have busy lives. My husband, he's retired, and he thinks he's busy. Anyway, between all of our schedules with work and school and retirement, we don't get to see each other regularly. Maybe it's like that in your family. You don't all live together. You are here and there and everywhere. But when we do get together, I love for us to sit down at the table. When we are together, I try to have time when we can all eat a meal together. It can be around the kitchen table or the dining room table, the table on the porch, the table at Arby's or McDonald's, some table somewhere together. My youngest son, Nick, even said to me one time, "What is the big deal, Mom, about all of us being together around the table and eating together?" I think the table is a great place for us to let each other know what has happened in our lives since we have seen each other. We remember the past. We talk about what is going on in our lives at work and school, how our friends make us happy and sad, and what we could be doing better. We laugh about how much fun we had, or if we had a disagreement, how sorry we are. We think about the presence around the table. We think about the future, too. When will we see each other again? And maybe we could go on vacation again together. And what are we going to do tomorrow? We talk about how we will miss each other. We think about the future as we gather around the table. Gathering around the table is an important part of lots of stories in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Gathering around the table is a part of how God wants all of us, you and you and me and you, all of us to live. And Psalm 23 is also about gathering around the table. We often think of Psalm 23 as a time for when we need comforted, for a time of struggle, or a time of death. But listen again to verses 1, 2, and 5. Listen how Psalm 23 is about living. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And in verse 5, he restores my soul. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Psalm 23 is comfort food for the soul. Using the image of our Lord as the shepherd and each one of us as sheep, green pastures are really an all-you-can-eat banquet. It's like going to the Chinese restaurant and just eating away. Still waters are fountains overflowing with cool, clear, spring-fed water that satisfies our unquenchable thirst, like the cup that overflows in verse 5. Psalm 23 tells us that something special happens when we gather around the table, and that the Lord is the host, not you or not I, but the Lord. When the Lord is the host of the table, everything is taken care of. God provides for all of our needs of sustenance. Whatever our enemy may be neighbor, maybe family members, maybe our enemy is time or illness, distance, misunderstanding, whatever our enemy may be, God prepares an abundant table where we are secure and comforted and cared for. The New Testament is also full of stories of Christ preparing tables of abundance. Jesus prepared the table when he fed 4,000 men on the plains. There's the story of Jesus turning the water into the wine, the climactic story of the Last Supper also. There is the story of the two mourners on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and his nameless friend, and how they talked to a stranger until, after inviting the stranger into the home and the stranger broke the bread, did the friends realize it was Jesus. Then there's today's story of Jesus on the mountaintop having a picnic. I like to think of it as a picnic with 12,000 disciples, 12 disciples and 5,000 men, plus the women and children. Jesus and the disciples had just heard of cousin John the Baptist's death. The disciples had just been on their first mission trip. They were all hurting physically, emotionally, spiritually, and they just wanted to retreat and get away. They were trying to get away, but all of these people kept following them, wanting to hear Jesus, to see Jesus, to touch or be touched by Jesus, to be healed by Jesus. And after a long day of ministry, the evening was coming, and the disciples just wanted to be done with the day's work, to go kick up their feet, to relax, to have a nice meal together, just the 13 of them, and be done with everyone else. But Jesus, you know Jesus. Jesus, the host of every table, would have none of that. Yet again, Jesus wants everyone to gather around the table, or at least sit down on the grass and have something to eat together. Major problem. There wasn't the all-you-can-eat banquet of green pastures and cool waters like was described in Psalm 23. Or was there? All the disciples could find was 5 measly loaves and 2 little fishes. That doesn't sound like a banquet to me. Does it sound like a banquet to you? But don't worry, because it sounded like a banquet to Jesus. Jesus took the 5 small loaves and the 2 little fishes. He blessed them and he looked toward heaven. The miracle story is in all 4 of the Gospels. We read about it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That makes it abundantly important that all 4 contain this account of Jesus hosting the picnic. Yet in this account of Matthew's only, in this story that Matthew tells, Jesus looks up toward heaven. He looked up toward heaven. Jesus realized the power of God, our Heavenly Father. And so he looks up toward heaven and he blesses the bread and he broke it. And Jesus ends up preparing that table of abundance, with so much that there's 12 baskets of leftovers. That everyone, the 5,000 men, plus the women and the children, were all satisfied. He looked up toward heaven. My friends, do you look up toward heaven when you break the bread? Even more importantly, have you asked the Lord to sit at your table every day? Have you experienced the Lord becoming the host of your table and providing all? Or do you worry that there's not enough? Have you listened and heard and finally recognized that Jesus is going to care for you? All you have to do is trust. When our Lord is the host at the table, we are sustained, we are secure, and we receive in abundance. When our Lord is the host at the table, we can be transformed and see our lives in a new and different way. When our Lord is the host at the table, we can be charged up with hope and joy that we want to go out and talk with friends and neighbors we know and don't know and tell them about the good news that Jesus truly is the Messiah. Jesus is truly the Savior. Jesus will comfort and care for us. When our Lord is the host at the table, even when the table is spread amidst our enemy, we are safe and secure. Gathering around the table is wonderful. We can gather around this table because Christ invites each one of us to come. We can gather around this table and think of the past. We remember how Jesus fed so many with so little. We can gather around this special table and we can think about the present. We can think about all the others worldwide in Europe, Africa, Asia, South America, Catholic, Methodist, Lutheran, who are celebrating with us together worldwide communion. We can listen for God calling us. Whether it is God speaking to us like God calling Samuel in the nighttime or through our family or our friends, perhaps calling us to be a leader in this church. We can gather around this special table and we can think about the future, how we will lay our lives down for others, how we're going to continue to serve when we are sent from this place this morning. We think back about when we will all be back together. Oh, beloved, this table is so special. The bread and the cup on this table will nourish us like none other, like no other lunch or dinner that we will have here at Glenshaw Valley. We will eat this bread and drink this cup together and be bound to each other. And most importantly, we will be closer to Jesus. Jesus will reach down and touch us and love us and nourish us forever through this table. This is a wonderful table. Come, let us feast together and fall in love all over again with God, the host of this table, our most special friend. Thanks be to the Lord for this table and for all of its abundance. Alleluia and amen. Amen. We will sing verses 1 and 2 as we continue to prepare to come to this table, break thou the bread of life. Beloved, this is the joyful feast that the Lord has prepared for us. We talked about how there was two on the road, and they didn't know it was Jesus with them until he broke the bread, looked towards the heavens, and till he poured the cup. This is a table prepared just for you. As long as you trust that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are invited to come and dine together at this table. Let us pray. Holy and wonderful God, you have blessed us abundantly over and over again. And today, you offer us the promise of this table. There have been promises in the past that you have kept and we have broken, but you continue to make those promises to us. There was the promise in the Garden of Eden that we will be secure. There was the promise of the rainbow after the flood that you will never send the waters again. There was the calling out of the prophets telling us of all the promises that we have broken and all the promises that you keep. There is the promise of Jesus that we will have grace and life everlasting because of his death on the cross. And so, Lord, we give you thanks for that work. We give you thanks for this common cup. We ask, Lord, that you bless it and you help us to remember what Christ has done for us. We ask that this common bread and this common cup nourish our bodies in a special way. We ask, Lord, for your grace in our life. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Jesus gathered his special friends in a small room, just as we are gathered today. And because he loved them so much, he washed their feet. And then he took the bread and he broke it. He looked towards heaven and he blessed the bread. And he said, "This is my body broken just for you.
Whenever you take from this bread, remember me.
The body of Christ, broken just for you. Take and eat all of it. In the same way, after they were done with their dinner, Jesus took the cup and he poured it out. And he said, "This is my new promise, my new covenant. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Whenever you drink from this cup, remember me and know that your sins are forgiven. The gift of God for the people of God." Let us pray. Holy and wonderful God, we give you thanks for this table, for being the host and for inviting us here. Thank you for feeding and nourishing us. Thank you for quenching our thirst. Be with us now as we leave this place to go out and share your good news, the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, and his grace with all of the world. Amen. Amen. Stand and sing number 582, Glory to God, whose goodness shines on me. Holy Spirit, and together all God's children said, Amen. Amen.